Well, let's talk about, we hear that it's interesting because you hear about alcohol sales going up, but you think about unused inventory. It's not always in the shape and form of what you think, particularly when you talk about kegs. That's an issue. Let's talk to the executive director of Craft Brewers Guild. Danielle D'Alessandro is joining us. Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for calling into WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're with us. So tell us just kind of, though, give us a big picture view of what's happening in, like, the beer industry right now from your perspective here locally.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the question. And it was interesting just to kind of hear you guys talk about what's happening with this beer, or are beer sales really going up? What is happening with all this leftover beer that is in kegs that was meant to be consumed on premise, whether at a sporting stadium, or at a bar or a restaurant. I'd say to the first point, though, in terms of beer sales, certainly in the first couple of weeks that bars and restaurants shut down and we had shelter in place in Illinois, you did see a lot of consumers kind of flock and stock up, you know, on their alcohol purchases. Particularly those relates to wine and spirits. You know, you're not buying those in the same type of quantity or on as much regular of a basis. And so,
speak for yourself, Danielle.
Sales,
I'm just kidding.
No, that's fair. I think that we're going to see definitely some leveling off, or at least some spikes, but not consistent growth in terms of off-premise sales. And in terms of kegs, that certainly has been a challenge for some of our larger independent breweries. And so one option that breweries here in Illinois are utilizing is actually sending that beer to distilleries in order for them to make hand sanitizer. Another option, though, and this is kind of an interesting thing that we don't often think about as consumers, but if you want to destroy, or if you can no longer use unsaleable or bad beer, breweries actually can apply for a tax credit because, right, that's not ending up going to the consumer. In order to do that, though, they've had to schedule an agent from the Department of Revenue to come out and witness that destruction of beer. So we actually worked with the Department of Revenue and the Liquor Control Commission to do a virtual witnessing to record the destruction of that beer in order for a brewery to apply for that tax credit, so that they don't have to wait, you know, 6-8 weeks for an agent to come out. And so that way they can dump those kegs, start refilling them with new and fresh beer, because that's what we're seeing a lot, too, with some of these breweries is while their sales might be down, their volume is actually up because they're making beer to package quicker, to sell for curbside or pickup or delivery, and it's turning around that beer quicker. And so being able to utilize those kegs is critically important because, you know, these small and independent breweries don't operate with a lot of extra space or a lot of warehouse space in their brewery. So they need to make sure that they're moving that beer out and filling those kegs with fresh beer.
I hadn't even thought of that. So the dumping the beer so you can get the tax credit, and then the whole virtual thing with the IRS. But then also the idea that they're using it for hand sanitizer, that's a pretty amazing thing that they can do and repurpose it in that way. The kegs, though, aren't they worth something too? Isn't that part of the issue? Don't they have to get returned? And this seems like a distribution issue as well.
Certainly. A lot of breweries do rent kegs there's really only a few, I would say, large keg companies. And so they certainly can send those back out into distribution where they're picked up, they're cleaned, and they're repurposed. Some breweries, though, actually do own their own kegs, though, as well. You know, depending on the size of the brewery, again, and the space limitations that they have, very important that you can't stack as many empty kegs as you can full kegs, which is kind of interesting fact that I learned recently. And so, so you're taking up more room again with kegs that, or I'm sorry, you can stack. Opposite, turn that around. I'm sorry. You can't stack as many kegs when they're full. And so for breweries that are sitting on this extra beer that probably won't be able to be consumed, they need to make sure that they can dump those kegs, stack them so they're taking up less space in the brewery, and then use them with the new beer that they're finishing up in the tank process. Well, it really just depends on the situation.
Then how long does a keg of beer last? I thought once it was sealed up in a keg, it had a long shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a longer shelf life. It also depends on the temperature that the keg is kept at. And certainly breweries, can sell kegs to consumers. So if you have, you know, a kegerator in your house, certainly, you know, buy the keg, and bring it back. Typically, to your point, there's a deposit for the keg, so you're bringing the keg back, so the brewery can reuse it. But you're right, there aren't house parties, at least that should be taking place right now. So unless you're in a household with quite a few bodies that want to consume beer, yes, the beer will stay fresh for a while, certainly longer than, you know, than crawlers or growlers. But we certainly say that in order to, you know, the beer is best when it's first packaged, and when it's fresh. So we do encourage you to drink it earlier than later.
I'm not sure I could tell if it was expired or not. I mean, maybe a palate like yours, Danielle, or maybe yours, Bertrand, you probably could tell, but I'm not sure. Does it really go bad?
I can tell, but I don't care.
Right, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, I would say particularly with, depending on the ingredients that you're using, I mean, if you're going to use, you know, fresh fruit or some other type of adjunct ingredient, again, the more fresh it is, the better. But beer really does last a long time. Again, we want it to be fresh because it's going to taste the best, but I certainly have beer in my fridge from months ago that will still be drank at some point.
Yeah, of course. Can't let it go to waste. So the craft beers, brewers in general in our area, are they, when they must be doing some pivoting, because you used to send a lot of that to the bars and restaurants, and now you're not as much, or maybe you are. I guess I just don't understand. How has that business model changed in the distribution of beer? What's happening?
You're right. It's changing. It's changed very quickly, and what'll be interesting is what that new norm looks like then once we start to see some of these on-premise restrictions being lifted and people can actually go back into a tap room and into a brew pub. But how the dynamic has changed altogether, because right now that everything has moved to distribution and to off-premise, there's only so much shelf space, and so you're not going to have the same access, I would say, to brands and to variety when you're shopping off premise is when you do, and you can go into the individual establishments themselves, and you know, do a flight of beer or try different styles. And so certainly we're seeing kind of a constriction in the market in terms of how many brands are being sold at off premise accounts. But breweries continue to be innovative. They continue to be creative in what they're doing. And so we have breweries that have moved to virtual beer tastings or happy hours. And so they'll put together, you know, a little like a kit that you pick up at the brewery, again, curbside, with your different beers. And they'll sometimes include, you know, different snacks from other local vendors in the area. And then just bring people together again via virtual happy hour or beer tasting with the brewer, with the owner of the brewery. And so, you know, you have some efforts too around breweries that are collaborating. There's a worldwide effort, actually, I think, that's called All In Together, where there's, you know, a few hundred breweries that are making like the same exact beer, and they're donating a portion of the proceeds to a local nonprofit. And we're actually privileged enough. We have two breweries in Illinois, Brothership Brewing in Mokena and Microphone Brewing in Elk Grove Village, that is donating a portion, and decided to donate a portion of their proceeds to our organization, which is a nonprofit and exists to support support our small brewers in Illinois. So again, brewers are being innovative. They're being creative with how they're getting their beer to consumers. You noted the truck that Goose Island is driving
yeah.
around. You know, again, it's a new world, and it's been kind of, I will say, maybe one of the silver linings, again, is seeing the creativity and the innovation we already know is a part of the craft beer community, and really seeing, though, that come to light in a different way to tackle this, the current situation that we're in.
I love that donation program you talked about. You also mentioned that you can pick up those beer tasting kits kind of thing. Do you have any couple of names you can throw our way just to let us know who might be doing that sort of thing?
Yeah, I know Skeleton Key has done that a few times, and Microphone Brewing has done it. I believe Revolution has. We actually, though, have a form on our social media pages, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, with an online and online ordering, pickup, and delivery form. And we have about 150 brewers in Illinois that have filled out this form, and it tells you exactly what they offer. So, you know, can you buy beer for pickup? Can you buy beer for delivery? Can you purchase merchandise? Do they have a virtual tip jar? You know, and a place where you can go and check out how you can support your local brewery. So we highly recommend people go to that form, look it up, because the individual brewery then will have that information on when they're doing different happy hours. Each one is different. Like I've seen, I know Haymarket here in Chicago has one upcoming that they're doing. Tangled Roots down in Ottawa has done a couple. So it really just depends on the brewery. But there is, I will say that the one thing that even during shelter in place, there is a beer-related virtual event that is happening every weekend. And so you
thank
can
God for that.
Take advantage and find that out. Yeah,
I have noticed it. The virtual happy hours are just getting more and more, and they're not always on Fridays anymore. I've noticed as well. It's just sort of like every sort of day. They, you know, there's that option. Is there one-stop shopping to see what's going on in the craft brew world? If people wanted to check out a Facebook page or something like that, Danielle?
I would say no. Check your local brewery or the brewery that you're looking to support. Check out our pages. We hosted a statewide virtual beer tasting and happy hour a few weeks ago. We have another program that's coming out to get consumers engaged and buying pickup and delivery at breweries. But that really is the best way to support these small businesses too, is to make the purchase directly from the brewery or the brew pub. And that will certainly go a long way in supporting them and their employees. But, we've seen one brewery closure now in Illinois that wasn't entirely related to the pandemic. But we're definitely seeing sales are down across the board. The Brewers Association actually had an interesting survey that they sent out where almost 46% of brewery respondents said they would not be able to last longer than 3 months of a government shutdown, mandated shutdown. Mm-hmm. And so similar to the hospitality industry, breweries run on very small margins. And so consumer support is incredibly important at this time.
Yeah, we hear you there, Danielle. You've been a wealth of information on this, and I hope you check in with us again. You're with the Craft Brewers Guild, and it's Danielle D'Alessandro. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Anna. Really appreciate it.